And now we're reading the Passion Story. The Lord's Supper. You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man will be given over to be crucified. Now that the feast of unleavened bread, also called the Passover, draw near, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, they assembled with the elders of the people in the place of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted how they might take Jesus craftily and put him to death. But they said, "Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people." Then Satan entered into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, one of the 12. He went his way to the chief priest and captains and spoke together with them how they might betray Jesus to them. They were glad to hear him. He said to them, "What will you give me to betray him to you?" They promised to give him money and agreed with him for 30 pieces of silver. He accepted, and from that time he sought opportunity to betray him in the absence of the multitude. Then came the first day of the unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" He said to them, "Go into the city. When you have entered the city, watch for a man bearing a pitcher of water. When he meets you, follow him into the house where he enters. You shall say to the man who lives there, 'The master says to you, my time is at hand, and I will keep the Passover at your house. Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us." The disciples did as Jesus had directed them. They came into the city and found it as he told them, and they made ready the Passover. When the hour was come, Jesus sat down and the apostles with him. As they were eating, he said, "I have longed to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall not eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." As they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Truly I say to you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in the kingdom of my Father." There was also a strife among them as to which of them should be accounted the greatest. He said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority over them are called benefactors. It shall not be so among you. He that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that serves. For who is greater, he that sits at the table or he that serves? It is not he that sits at the table. But I am among you as a servant. You are they who have continued with me in my temptations. I point you to a kingdom as my Father has appointed me. You shall eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Jesus knew that his hour was come to depart from the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who are in the world, he loved them to the finish. Already Satan had put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God who was going to God. He rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and girded himself with a towel. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with a towel which he was girded. When he came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "I am doing, you do not know now. What I am doing, you do not know now. But after these things, you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has been bathed does not need to wash more than his feet, for he is clean altogether. You are clean, but not all of you." He knew who was to betray him. That was why he said not everyone was clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down, again he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You called me the Master and the Lord, and it is good that you say this, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I have done this to show you the way to do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I do not speak of you all. I know whom I have chosen. The scripture must be fulfilled. He that eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Already now I tell you of this before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives anyone whom I shall send receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." When Jesus had said these things, his spirit was in turmoil. He bore witness and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, that one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another dumbfounded about whom he spoke. One of the disciples whom Jesus loved was leaning on Jesus' bosom. Simon Peter asked to him, "Ask who it is of whom he is speaking." That disciple who was reclining on Jesus' chest said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus then answered, "It is the one to whom I shall give the piece of bread after I have dipped it." He dipped the piece of bread he had in his hand and gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After the piece of bread had been dipped, Satan entered into that one. Jesus said to him, "What are you doing? What you are doing, do quickly." No one at the table knew what the purpose was of what Jesus had said to him, because Judas kept the money bag. Some thought Jesus had told him to buy what was needed for the feast, or to give something to the poor. When that man had received the piece of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and in him God is glorified. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify him in himself, and straightway he will glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, and you, that you love one another as I have loved you. For this I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but afterwards you will follow me.
Grace and peace to you in Christ Jesus. The text for our message this evening is from Hebrews 9, verses 6 through 14. When everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still functioning. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. They are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, is not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that they may serve the living God? This is our text. When the preparations have been made, the priests are allowed to go into the first section, performing their ritual duties. But into the second, only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of his creation, he entered once for all in the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The sight of blood tends to make most people a bit squeamish. Okay, truth be told, the sight of blood, especially my own blood, makes me squeamish. Knowing that we know about infectious diseases, we are anxious about blood. Many people find the frequent references to blood in the scriptures in our hymns to be primitive and repulsive. The sophisticated are prone to scorn the blood theology of the Old and New Testaments as a relic of the ancient world. But the fact of the matter is that there is no life, either physically or spiritually, without blood. It is not accidental that God ties our life and our salvation to blood. Dr. Paul Brand, a Christian physician, wrote a series of articles on blood in the magazine Christianity Today several years ago. Listen to Dr. Brand as he describes the way blood cells work. No cells lie more than a hair's breadth from a blood capillary, lest poisonous byproducts pile up. Through a basic chemical process of gas diffusion and transfer, individual red blood cells traveling slowly inside narrow capillaries simultaneously release their cargoes of fresh oxygen and absorb waste products such as carbon dioxide, urea, and uric acid. The red cells deliver these potential hazardous chemicals to organs that dump them outside the body. In other words, the blood cells literally cleanse our bodies from the inside out. Likewise, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. In verse 14, we read, "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" St. John adds, "The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us all from sin." And that's what we need, cleansing from the inside out. For our Lord says, "Out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean." The sin we inherit from our parents pollutes us. Our sin makes us unfit to live in God's holy presence. Try as we might, we never clean ourselves. We can only pray, "Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin," trusting that the Lord our God, who is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love, has taken matters into his own hands to give us a proper cleansing. It is only the blood of Christ that purifies us, enabling us to enter in God's holy presence. The blood of Jesus Christ gives us a clean conscience. His blood takes away all the sin that poisons our lives, just as human blood cells carry away the toxins that would poison our bodies. We come to worship regularly because we need God's cleansing. To hold on to sin is to be polluted by it. And the pollution of sin is eternally lethal. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only remedy for our sin. Nothing else can rinse clean the stains from our conscience and give us peace. As a dear old hymn proclaims, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes us white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus." God provides the cleansing. In our text from the book of Hebrews, the sacred writer describes how the testament foreshadowed and pointing to the cleansing that the blood of Jesus would bring. Once a year on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could enter this most sacred spot, and he only once a year. Clothed in his sacred vestments, The high priest entered behind the curtain with the blood of a bull that he offered up as a sin offering for himself and the priesthood. He also came with the blood of a male goat that he offered for the sins of the people of Israel, even those sins committed in ignorance. This ritual was repeated year after year. The blood of the bull and the blood of the goat point to Jesus Christ, for he is the scapegoat who shed his own blood for us, having obtained our eternal redemption. His sacrifice need not be repeated. In fact, it cannot be repeated. We do not gather this evening to offer God a sacrifice. Instead, we are here in the Lord's name to receive from him the fruits of the sacrifice that our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, made for us when he gave himself over to death. We are here for a cleansing, a spiritual cleansing. We are here to receive God's forgiveness and his assurance that we will live with him forever. So hear this wonderful news. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now to him who loved us and washed away our sins in his own blood and made us kings or queens and priests, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.